Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Hi, I'm Beth Stewart. I am a nurse. I've been a nurse for a lot of years. Most of my nursing has been in the emergency room. Now I'm actually the director of nursing of a skilled care unit, and I've just finished a degree in public health nursing, so that's where I hope my next path takes me. So my husband Ben and I lived at Holden from 2000 to 2003 with some little children, and we've been back various times since then.
And I'm Ben, the husband just mentioned, and I was village pastor from 2000 to 2003. I'm now a professor of worship at the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, and I direct the advanced studies programs, our PhD, DMIN, and other programs. I'm delighted to be back here at Holden to teach with my wife.
Mm-hmm. And we sort of chose change theory to teach about when we heard that the theme was Fear Not for the summer. And as a nurse in the emergency room, it was often my job, my responsibility to help people figure out how to change behaviors around disease states that they had, either newly diagnosed or maybe short-term, probably long-term, more chronic. And now my job as a director of a unit is to help an entire unit and sometimes an organization change their behaviors. And then in public health, we have entire communities try to make changes for the health of their community. And I've been able to be involved in some amazing programs in Oak Park, Illinois. Actually, I'm on a homeless coalition right now that brings people of all different backgrounds and interests together to try to make a change for that. So that's sort of where we're coming from this, where often people, the fear that they have when they think about change is that maybe they're not going to be able to accomplish it. So we're hoping to help people feel more confident in that.
Yeah, what I've loved working with you about, like, I think of when I think worried about, can I make a change? That's the idea of this teaching sessions this week is, so, you know, can I change my diet? Can I change my prayer life? Can I make a change in my local environment? And a lot of us have a lot of anxiety about that. Like, can I make those changes? Am I going to lose 5 pounds? What's so, I've learned so much by working with you is that your expertise, like, you're working with people in your doctoral project was with people who were experiencing opioid addiction, mm-hmm. a whole clinic full of folks on that. And so from people who've really been under immense pressure, you're using kind of evidence-based mm-hmm. theory from what you've discovered there to help us make changes. We're talking about changes in our personal health, in our spirituality, and in kind of our community health and community ecology.
Mm-hmm. And one of the sort of main things I've learned, and I think what the literature is telling us, is that so much a part of changing is to really figure out what parts we can control and what parts we can't control, and then to sort of see how that fits. And especially with people with addictions, of course, because of their addiction, they've had behaviors that have made it impossible to make some changes that they've liked. For example, they may have had children taken away, or they may have cut ties with family, or they may have been imprisoned, which makes it hard for them to make a change in their employment or in their family life. But we really look at what within those bounds you can change. And I think that's sort of at the heart of what we're looking at yeah. here.
There's a kind of anthropology to that we hold inside ourselves. There are things that we can't control. We're creatures of dust who are going to return to the dust, but also for now we're filled with the breath of God, which means so much as possible. So one of the things that I'll talk about kind of in riffing on this change theory is the way that the classic patterns of Christian prayer place those two things in dialogue. There are certain things that we don't have a choice about. The sun will come up in the morning. So we pray in the morning, giving thanks for the sun, praying for the day, but also that God would fill us with a kind of agency on as we walk on this earth. And then also at evening, the sun's going to set. We don't have control over that, but we pray that God will give us joy in our hearts. And so, as Holden knows, we sing even as the sun goes down, joyous light of heavenly glory, and we ask that that joy be in our hearts at night. So I just think it's fun to play with this dynamic of what we have control over and what we don't have control over, and holding them both, not erasing one or the other. And I think our prayer life can help develop a spirituality that then enables us to look at the kind of changes we're actually able to make.
And of course, one part of change theory that I've grown to love, especially within Lutheran theology, is that we probably are going to backtrack, and we're not always going to, you know, be able to avoid the donut at work at 10 a.m. But to, you know, that brings in the idea of grace, and it's part of the process of changing is to backtrack. And even people suffering addiction, many people will relapse. And the idea is that that is not failure, but just a step in the direction that we go.
Yeah, and that failure is built into the human condition. I mean, from the very beginning, that's part of the kind of Christian spirituality is we welcome newcomers to the faith, newcomers to life, as a reminder that we're dust creatures. And there's a great poem by Allen Ginsberg called Ode to Failure. And the last line is, I never learned to die. I never got, even that I couldn't get right. And so, so the kind of paradox is, in order to be effective people who can make changes in our lives, we come to terms with our failures, and grace washes over all of that. That grace can be a way of empowering us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.